Hello everybody, it's Alex here from Goalpost TV. You are tuned in to another episode of Goalpost for Jumpers, and it's episode 306 or something. So we're back and we are back with a bang. It's me plus Baker. So two episodes, sometimes when he decides he wants to do one, every week going forward. But he's got some really, really cool guests coming up. So make sure you tune in to his episodes as well. But with my episode, we're going to run it back. We're going to be some classic two lies and a truth. And to kick off every episode, we are going to do a classic quiz question. So quiz question for this week's episode is, who is the most recent player to be inducted in to the Premier League 100 goal club? That's the Premier League 100 goal club. So he scored 100 goals in the Premier League. He's in there. He is a person and a player. You've got to guess who he is. And the answer will be given at the end of the show. So you have to watch all the way through. That player, just to give you a quick clue, has scored 103 goals. So obviously he wasn't in there last season. He's just scored that 103rd goal, was his last goal of last season. So who is it? You guess, you tell me. Yes, the football season is right around the corner. We are on Wednesday, probably, when you hear this. So we're a couple of days away from the Premier League season. We've just had the first weekend of football, which was Championship, League One, League Two. Who knows what happened? Because I'm not recording it after it. I'm recording it before it. So what's new? What is new? Well, the Premier League and the EFL have come out with some new rules, and I'm going to go through them with you, and you can tell me what you think. Officials will add on World Cup-style amounts of added time as a new directive for the new season. I think this is a really good thing. The thing is with the World Cup, yes, it's like 10 minutes added on, but we're actually getting closer to 90 minutes of football, which we never get. I was reading, there was a stat across Europe's top five leagues. I think the most amount of time the ball was in the pitch was maybe 60 minutes, and I think that was the French league. So we're playing 30 minutes of the ball in the crowd with the goalkeeper, with someone rolling around on the floor. So I think it's a great thing. I think it'll discourage time wasting. I think it'll discourage players rolling around on the floor for 3 minutes, pretending they're injured, then getting straight back up. So I think that's a great thing. So well done, Premier League and EFL. That is great. There will be a higher threshold for contact between players. So the referee will now not be giving these really soft, we hope, these really soft free kicks that you see all the time. A higher threshold means hopefully the referees will see a challenge. They'll let actual challenges come in, not blow their whistle, not be jumping to give a free kick every time a player falls on the floor, which is great as well. So all in all, I think that's really great. There's also going to be players now booked for crowding the referee. We saw that last season. We saw that without any announcement last season, just randomly. I can't remember who it was who got sent off. Someone got sent off with a second yellow. I think it was a Bournemouth player. I have no idea. But we saw that randomly and everyone was kind of like, well, no one's told us about that. I'm assuming they communicated that with the players at the time. But now we know full well, if a player crowds the referee, there'll be yellow cards issued. And I think, again, another really great thing. We're moving towards respect for referees as much as everyone hates them. I think it's a big, big thing that we miss in football, that they have in rugby and other sports, where we show respect to the referees. We're not spending 90 minutes arguing, because when does the referee change his mind? You know, I know it's a cliche, but when does a referee change his mind when five players go over there? I think the days where you crowd a referee and it influences them a little bit, like it maybe used to in the 90s and even early 2000s, I think that's gone. So I think that's another really good thing from the EFL and the Premier League to do. There's also a crackdown on managers leaving their technical area. So they'll now be, I don't know whether they're going to be carded, whether they're going to be banned, but they are planning on making sure that they crack down on managers leaving their technical area. Another good thing. So the new season right around the corner, pre-season's happened, which gives us no clue on whether a team's going to do well or not. We saw Man United beat Arsenal, but then also get beat by Dortmund. But then we also see Arsenal beat Barcelona, but draw with Monaco. So who knows? Chelsea look all right. Liverpool look okay. Haven't really seen much of Tottenham. I really like the look of Nkunku for Chelsea. I think he's going to be great this season. Creativity, goals. I think that what we've got in him is a hybrid player. He's not quite your kind of creativity of De Bruyne, but he'll fill those positions on the edge of the box. He can make key passes. He can finish. He's got an eye for goal. I think he will be, and you never know, but I think he will be a big player this season for Chelsea. I really like the addition of Mason Mount to Man United. Of course I would, because I'm biased, but I do like that. I think whether he has a barnstorming season and scores 15 goals or not, I don't think matters. I think the way he's employed to play and the way Ten Hag wants to play, with possibly like a two number eights with Fernandes and Mount, two great pressing midfielders, creative midfielders, but great defensively as well, always getting back, doing the hard yards. I think that would be a really, really big acquisition for Man United. I think that's amazing. Liverpool have done okay. I think they've done okay. I think the signings from last season, I think Nunes, I think getting Diaz back as well is a big, big, big thing for them. I think the Szoboszlai signing is one that isn't going to change Liverpool's season, but I like him as a player. I really like it. He's really technical, big, strong, aggressive, can run with the ball, but they're going to be playing him more deep. But I thought for some reason he was more of a wide player or a 10. So it'll be interesting to see how they use him. Some great things that I saw pre-season as well. The body cams used. We saw Yuri Tielemans wear one in his vest. That was great. We actually got to see the point of view of a footballer on a pitch, which was amazing. The speed, the biggest thing was the lack of time that any of these players have on the ball. The ball zipped in, and if they are not getting rid of that ball within the first 1 or 2 seconds, there is a player pressing them. So that was great to see. I think that gives us a good appreciation of just how hard it is to play football, not just at professional level, but at the Premier League level as well, which was great. Yeah, that was amazing to see. And hopefully, actually, they do bring that in future. We actually saw the greatest football team name as well. I say we, I saw it, and it was a team called Mousehole. Now, I'm sorry to any Mousehole fans, if there are any, that we didn't already know about you, but now we do. There is a team called Mousehole, which is the best team name ever. There's also a player who plays for Fulham called McCoy Splat. McCoy Splat, which is the greatest name ever. Doesn't even sound real. Definitely made it up. Don't trust it, but I'm going to be following your career, McCoy Splat, and I'm going to be following your team successes, Mousehole. Overall, I am dead excited for the new season, and I think this is the most excited I've been in a while as well. And it's not necessarily because I think Man United are going to go and win everything, but I think it's going to be a super competitive league this season. I think it's going to be one where you could have anyone from the likes of Aston Villa, Newcastle, maybe not Brighton, we'll see, Tottenham, Chelsea, Arsenal, Man United, Man City, Liverpool, all competing for those top four places. So I think we're going to see a standard in the Premier League that we've never seen before as well. I don't think the whole 20 Premier Leagues are going to demonstrate that, but I think the top 10 are going to be 10 of any team in that top 10, I think, could get European football. The teams to probably drop off, maybe Brighton, but I think Brighton, even so, with a fantastic manager, they've made a couple of nice signings. João Pedro's come in. They've got Pascal Gross now, who's on a level that I don't think anyone expected to see from him. He's obviously playing with what we think might be the next big name in particularly Irish football is Evan Ferguson as well. So it'd be interesting to see the link up, because Pascal Gross, one of the most creative midfielders in the league, Evan Ferguson, 18 years old, burst onto the scene last season. If he can get a good run of games next season, we might be seeing a teenager who puts together 10, 15 goals. So I'm dead excited to see even just the likes of Brighton. I think that quality is there, and that top 10, it could be anyone who finishes in the top four. It could be anyone who wins the league out of probably Man United, City, Chelsea and Arsenal. So dead excited for that. Without further ado, I'm going to bring back Two Lies and a Truth. So if anyone hasn't watched before or listened before, then let me just tell you the rules. This is where I create two stories out of the figment of my imagination. I take one story that's real and you've got to pick which one is the true story. But they are crazy and it's actually harder than it sounds. So let me just get straight into it. The first story is Andrei Arshavin designs women's clothing. The former Arsenal man designed women's dresses in his spare time and wrote a thesis on fashion. That's story number one. Andrei Arshavin designs women's clothing. Story number two, Steve Sidwell dyes his hair ginger. Yes, the ex-Chelsea midfielder noticed his hair becoming darker and more brown, so began dyeing it to retain his trademark red hair. Steve Sidwell dyes his hair ginger. Or story number three, that's Airbus goalkeeper James McCarry is afraid of the name Liam. So stupid. The teenage goalkeeper who plays his football in Cymru North has admitted to being unable to pronounce the name Liam and refuses to talk to anyone with that name. So yes, that's story number three. Airbus goalkeeper James McCarry is afraid of the name Liam. So that's three stories. You've got to choose which one is the true story. And obviously we'll reveal it at the end of the show, which means again, you have to stay with us. Right, predictions for the new season. Who's going to win the Premier League? Who's going to win the Championship? The Championship I've looked at, no idea. Absolutely no idea. If Southampton keep hold of a few of their players, which, I mean, the likes of Che Adams, they've got Nathan Teller from Burnley come back in. Obviously, he was on loan last season and ripped up the Championship. So they may be the favourites along with Leicester. Leicester keeping a lot of really good players. Players who can get them goals. Jamie Vardy, Patson Daka, Kelechi Iheanacho. So I think, and they've still got maybe a top level defensive midfielder in Wilfred Ndidi as well, depending whether they play him centre-back or midfield. So Leicester and Southampton, probably the favourites. If we go to Premier League, I mean, look, it's probably going to be Man City. If we're honest, the only team that can compete with Man City is Liverpool. We've seen that. We've had that over the last sort of 5 or 6 years. The only team that's ever pushed them close and actually beat them is Liverpool. Do I think Liverpool have strengthened enough to compete with them this season? Probably not. I do like some of their signings, but probably not. I think Man United might push both teams as well. I think it's going to be a top three or top four of Arsenal, Man United and Liverpool, but I think Man City will win that league. It'll be obviously Erling Haaland who'll get the golden boot. Who comes second? Who wins the golden boot without Haaland? Because that's how we're going to have to start looking at this league. We're going to have to start looking at it like, without Man City, without Haaland, who is top goal scorer and who wins it? Top goal scorer is probably going to be Salah. I think he, at his, is he 31, 32? I don't know. But he seems to be the most consistent winger, I think maybe the most consistent winger we've ever seen in Premier League history. I think his goal tally every season, even for a bad season, he still bags like 20, 30 goals. So I think he's probably going to be second. Like I said, I think a big season from Nkunku as well. I think he is a great signing for Chelsea. And obviously Harry Kane, if he decides to stick around, we don't know. We'll see. If we go down to League One, League Two, I don't even know where to start. There are some unbelievable players in both leagues. And I think, again, we're looking at some of the strongest teams in League One that we've seen in a long time. Reading, Charlton, Barnsley, obviously some teams that got relegated last season. Wigan are in there. I think we're going to probably see. I'm going to go. I'm going to say Wrexham will not win their league, but I think Wrexham might get top six, get promotion. I think Wrexham might get there on vibes alone. We already know from the likes of Salford, who have had all this money invested into them, that step up from the conference to League Two is huge. And I think that is something that probably the owners aren't anticipating right now, because how could you? They'll probably, they, I wouldn't have thought they're going to be overly confident, but that step up is a huge step up. So League Two, I think we might see Wrexham push for playoffs. I don't know if we'll see them win the league. League One could be anyone, but it'll probably, for me, be a team that's got relegated recently. Reading looked really strong still. Derby, I think, one of the favourites. So, yeah, Derby obviously missed out last season, but I think they could probably push it as well. Those are my predictions for the English leagues. Who knows on the Champions League? I fancy Unai Emery and the Conference League. I think he just loves those competitions. He's built an unbelievable squad as well. Ollie Watkins belongs at that level. Playing European football, I think he'll score at any level. Bringing in Moussa Diaby. They've also got Yuri Tielemans on a free. Pau Torres comes in to centre back. So they've got a really strong side. So I'm really looking forward to seeing them as well. Well, West Ham obviously won the Conference League last season, but can they then take it on to the Europa League? It could be anyone. I mean, Barcelona dropped into it last season. So it could be anyone. No idea. Complete guess. What have we seen on Twitter recently? This might be my favorite thing on the planet. It's old women wearing football boots in public. It's my favorite thing ever. Do you remember there was a woman? There was a woman wearing Nike Vapors, and I'm gonna bring up a picture if you've never seen it, which is my favorite picture of all time. She's out. She's sat down. She's just sat there. I reckon this is the same woman. I think this is the same woman, because a woman recently was pictured on the bus with some. I mean, they look like molds. Some Adidas ones now, absolute whoppers on her feet. Someone called her Granny Alves. Genius. I reckon that's the same woman. Someone find me this woman. She's coming on the podcast. That is my favorite thing ever. What else has happened? Oh, yeah. Fabrizio Romano has announced that FC Dallas have signed Asier Ilaramendi, which is quite a big signing for them. Used to play, obviously, at Real Madrid, Real Sociedad, which gives us the perfect opportunity to show you this clip.
Cruz and Ramos and, you know, Eramendi.
He had a stroke. I also saw this video of Klopp trying to sign a shirt.
Very big guy. I don't have time, actually. And you have to hold the fucking...
Oh, sorry, 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 Klopp, sorry, Klopp.
Really, and everyone was calling him rude. The worst thing about that video is the guys, the lads calling him Klopp. Sorry, Klopp. Sorry, Klopp. You dork. You dork. Call him his first name. Imagine someone calling you your surname. My surname's Price. Imagine someone calling me Price. Sorry, Price. Sorry, Price. It's fucking weird. Call him his first name. Call him Jürgen, dork. Oh, and of course, TalkSport strikes again. And actually, at this point, we might just assume anything that's said on TalkSport is written by creative writers who are actively trying to get you mad. That's all. That's what we're watching. It's Gabby Agbonlahor this time. I say this time, it's usually him. He said, "I'm going Konsa over Varane. Konsa over Varane. We'll go Dewsbury Hall." He's gone Konsa over Varane. Casemiro's not at his best, so he'll pick Douglas Luiz. So this is him doing a combined Man United and Villa starting 11, and he's gone Konsa over Varane, and Casemiro's out for Douglas Luiz. He said Mason Mount doesn't get close to this team. I'm having McGinn every day. I like John McGinn. But really? And I honestly think that, that TalkSport's clickbaity. We know that. We look at, just look at the headlines. But I think they're actually being told to say something outrageous, because this isn't the functioning brain of an actual person.
Or Dewsbury Hall.
I'm going to go Dewsbury Hall.
This is the writing of... This is someone writing how to piss off the most amount of people. Here you go, Gabby. Say this. Bang, they say it. Jamie O'Hara does the same thing. They're probably nice blokes. They're probably all right. They probably got a decent football opinion. But someone's writing for them. I'm not having that. That's their genuine opinion. No way. Right. The end of the episode. So, quiz question. The answer to the question. Who was the most recent player to enter the Premier League 100 goal club? He's scored 103 goals. He's just scored them last season. The answer is Heung-Min Son. He has 103 Premier League goals, so congratulations. That's quite some achievement. The answer to the biggest thing that's been on everyone's mind is the two lies and a truth answer. I'll give you that, those three back again. I'll run through them. Andre Arshavin was number one. That was designs women's clothing. Yet the former Arsenal man designed women's dresses in his spare time and wrote a thesis on fashion. The second story was Steve Sidwell dyes his hair ginger. The ex-Chelsea midfielder noticed his hair becoming darker and more brown, so began dyeing it to retain his trademark red hair. And then finally, Airbus goalkeeper James McCarrie is afraid of the name Liam. The teenage goalkeeper plays his football in Cymru North and has admitted to being unable to pronounce it and refuses to talk to anyone with that name. The answer was Andre Arshavin designs women's clothing. That was probably pretty obvious. The former Arsenal man, yet designed women's dresses in his spare time while he was at Arsenal. That's it, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode. We are back next Wednesday and every Wednesday. Please go to our YouTube channel. It's at Goalpost TV, and also our Twitter page, Goalpost TV, because you'll find our video episodes there if you haven't found them already. Audio is on all audio platforms. That's Apple, that's Spotify. So go ahead, search for Goalpost for Jumpers on those and you'll find us. That is it from me for another week. We'll see you next Wednesday. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tell me stories of all that are great. Cherish these days before it's too late.